Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And as a reminder, Miller Lite Fight Night, Saturday night at McFadden's. They will have limited access, reserved, and socially distanced seating available. You can go to McFadden's Facebook page and get tickets from there, or just go to Eventbrite and reserve your table, reserve your tickets in a social distance environment. UFC star Megan Anderson will be there at McFadden's watching the fights for Miller Lite Fight Night. And don't forget to tune in to my pre-fight show, which will be live at 6 o'clock tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And my special guest will be the James Krause. James Krause will be on the air with me at 6 o'clock to talk about the main card for UFC 252. And that's what our next guest is on the show to talk to us about. We have Kevin Ioli, who is the best when it comes to covering combat sports. That's why we have him on the show whenever there's a big fight. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kevin I is his handle. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I am great, Stephen. I'm always happy to be on with you, especially given you got James Krause and Laura Senko there, and you put me on the air.
That's right.
That's right. how highly we think of you, Kevin.
Hey, you know what? This Kansas City has a great MMA community, and you've got fighters like you said, like James Krause and Megan and Tim Elliott, and so many great fighters here. And it's always awesome to have them showcased and highlighted to talk about the fights with us. We love having you on the show as well. And so let's get right into it. You heard Dana White saying that he thinks the winner of this fight will be able to lay claim as the best heavyweight in UFC history. And at the very least, they'll be the heavyweight champ and they'll win the trilogy. Tell me what you think is riding. How much is riding on this big fight on Saturday night?
I think it's a massive fight for a lot of reasons. I mean, I agree with Dana. The winner of this fight is the greatest heavyweight of all time. And that's a big statement considering some of the heavyweights that have been out there, you know, notably Fedor Emelianenko, but you had Cain Velasquez, Randy Couture. I mean, so many, Josh Barnett, so many really good heavyweights. I think, you know, if you look at the record of these two guys, each of them has beaten a who's who of the best heavyweights of the era. They finished a very high percentage of their fights, and I think that they deserve to be. But, you know, I wrote this after the press conference yesterday. You know, Cormier is in really an interesting situation. He says he's going to retire. This is going to be his last fight no matter what. Win or lose, he's not coming back. He was 0-2 against Jones. One got changed to a no contest, but he knows he lost it. He was 0-2, and he's 1-1 against Stipe. If he loses this fight, he's going to go into retirement 1-4 against his two biggest rivals. And that, you know, I know that won't set well with him. And so, you know, the pressure is on him to perform because, you know, as he said in answer to a question about that, I have a big ego, and he's a huge competitor. He wants to win this fight, so there's a lot riding for both guys. But I think for DC, it's really monumental because he's going to live with the result of this. He doesn't get a chance ever again to get it back. He's got to do it tomorrow, or he's going to do it never.
Do you really think he'll stick to that this will be his last fight?
I do, and, you know, I've talked to him a lot about it, and he's a really emotional, heartfelt guy, and, you know, he promised his mother he'd retire at 40, and then he stuck around to, you know, give Stipe a rematch, and, you know, all sorts of things happened, so he's like, you know, now 41 and a half, but finally it's happened. You know, he had back surgery, Stipe had eye surgery, there was so much that went on that caused this fight to be delayed. But, you know, the way he talks about it and the points that he makes, I think make a lot of sense. And, you know, one thing he said yesterday, you know, he went on this long answer about, you know, hey, if you don't retire on top, and he goes, and retiring and being the best in the world, there's nothing better than that. He goes, eventually, you know, somebody comes along, knocks you off, and you'll show up on the preliminaries, or you'll be the guy that they sent in there to have the young guys beat and look good. And none of that sits well with him. And so I do believe he retires, and he'll retire on top if he can beat Stipe.
So, Kevin, I know you're a Las Vegas Golden Knights fan in the NHL, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So I bring that up because whether it's the NHL playoffs or the NBA playoffs, I love to watch series because each game is different, and I like to see the adjustments that teams make from one game to the next, very similar to like if we see a rematch or a trilogy in the fight game. So what adjustments are you looking for? Do you anticipate in this fight, maybe specifically for DC, if he wants to come out on top this time around?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think there's two things that that really he has to do. And I think the first one, and you know, more important, is he has to mix it up a lot more than he did before. You know, in the second fight, he got too comfortable standing in front of Stipe and just throwing punches. And you know, to use his phrase, he was quote unquote lighting it up. You know, and so he felt he was lighting Stipe up. And so he said that he felt like he had to change, he had to change that. So that being number one, and then you know number two, you know he's got to use distance more, you know, more wisely. You know, he can't be at the end of Stipe's punches. You know, you're either all the way in or all the way out. You know, he made the point yesterday too. He said it's not like I'm an Olympic wrestler. You know, and I can just take him down whenever I want. You know, he's a good wrestler too, so he needs that ability to do both of those things. And so I think, you know, what you have to see from DC is you have to see him really control the distance and mix up his wrestling and his striking. And if he does that, I think he's going to look good in the fight.
Kevin Ioli is our guest. I was watching the press conference last night. And DC mentioned a couple of times that he expects Stipe to go back to the body. And Stipe was even, you know, laughing and smiling about it because he had success with that in the last fight. So how much of a factor is that Stipe knows he can hurt him to the body? You know, DC knows he's going to have to try to make some adjustments. But sometimes some guys are just so good. And there's you can make adjustments, but it's still going to be a huge factor in the fight. He also said that, you know, he's not afraid to strike with Stipe, and you know he knocked him out before, but he knows that he wants to get him on the ground and wrestle. What about some of the comments that he made in the press conference last night?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think when you look at the rematch that they had last year, you know, Stipe very noticeably toward the end of the third round realizes, hey, I can go to the body. Now, it was a diminished DC. You know, he had been a couple months off of back surgery, you know, and he was really careful when he babied himself in training camp so he could get to the fight. So he wasn't in the kind of physical shape he's going to be in. So I think he's made the adjustment and he'll be you know, he'll be ready. You know, he's in better shape now. You know, he's pushed himself in camp. And he basically, what he did was he said, you know, last time when I didn't feel good, I just didn't train. He goes, this time if I don't feel good, I said, I'm not going to fight. He goes, I'm not going to put myself in that position. And so I think right off the bat, that is the big thing. But I think the other thing that goes back to what I said before, you know, Stipe is going to land a body shot. There's no question about that. But I think DC can't take multiple in a row. And, you know, in the finishing sequence, I think Stipe hit him with three big shots right to the liver. And, you know what a liver shot will do. It'll paralyze a guy. You know, you're down and, like, you can't move for 10 or 20 seconds. And after that, you're perfectly fine. But it's like that one shot when you get hit there, boy, forget about it. So I think, you know, if he mixes things up and he controls the distance and he doesn't let Stipe just, you know, hammer away at his midsection, I think he's going to be fine. Also, the fact that he's in better condition now will make a big difference.
So who are you picking?
I like DC to win the fight. You know, I went back and forth over it a lot, but I think he has more room to grow than I think Stipe does. You know, I think we've seen Stipe at his best, and at his best, he's very dangerous. I don't know that we've seen DC at his best. You know, maybe in the second round of the first fight we did, the first round of the second fight we did, but I don't think for all the time we've seen him at his best. I think he has that room to grow, and this fight is important to him. I'm going to go with DC. The odds out here in DC right now is minus 115, so it's a small price to pay. So I like DC in that one.
And Jake just perked up with the talk of odds, and so thank you for that, Kevin Eveley. Now let's get into the co-main, because I'm a Sean O'Malley fan. I like watching him fight. I've enjoyed watching him behind the scenes on Embedded, and it's clear that if he keeps winning, he's on a path to becoming a huge star. Hell, here he is. I was watching him, and he was just talking about how he kind of has to pinch himself that he's on. He's the co-main event for such an historical fight like Stipe in D.C. I'd just like to get your overall opinion of Sean O'Malley. He's as colorful in the octagon as he is outside of the octagon, and this is another huge showcase for him to take continue to take steps towards stardom in the UFC.
I think he has a chance to be a huge star in the UFC. I'm not sure he's going to be the caliber of fighter, say, that Conor McGregor was, but I think he has a chance to be that level of star. I really do. I mean, I think people are, you know, he has that personality, and, you know, he loves to talk. He loves to showboat. And he just has that, you know, kind of charisma that attracts people to him. So I believe O'Malley has a chance to be a star. He's a knockout guy. And you look at him, you know, a tall, skinny kid, and you think, man, where's that power coming from? But when he hits you on the chin, guys go out. I mean, you know, not just down, but they go out. And that's what he's had. How many one-punch knockouts? It's amazing. You know, in Marlon Vera, they put him in against the guy that's going to challenge him at his absolute weak spot. You know, we don't know him and what kind of grappler is he. You know, Sugar Sean O'Malley is a striker. And I had a boxing promoter in his last fight text me while he was fighting and saying, tell this guy to forget about MMA. I want to promote him as a boxer. He is an incredible boxer. That's how good his hands are. But he's facing a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt in Marlon Vera. And, you know, he's never had a really, for any length of time, grapple in any of his fights. We have to think that Marlon Vera is going to make him do that a little bit. So, you know, that is the question, you know. But I think if he can win this fight, I think he's setting himself up. You know, it reminds me of Conor McGregor's fight in 2014 with Dennis Seaver. Different styles, right? But I think that was the fight that turned McGregor into the real deal, right? He fought that fight in Boston. He jumped over the cage and went after Jose Aldo at ringside. And I think this is the fight for O'Malley that can do that for him. You beat a guy, a black belt, a veteran like Marlon Vera, especially in, you know, spectacular fashion, and I think everybody's going to, you know, be talking about him on Monday morning.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting topic, because I was watching O'Malley being interviewed, and he talked about how he wants to show everyone his jiu-jitsu, and that's what he loves the most about the sport, the jiu-jitsu. But he said, I'm so good at knocking people out, and it feels so good to knock people out, I don't ever get to that point. So it is going to be interesting, because he's such a great striker. But if all that matters is if he wins. If he keeps winning, no matter how he wins, the fan base is going to grow. But to your point, maybe this ends up being the fight where he could show that he's a more well-rounded fighter, just past the excellent striking that we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to have that, because when you get to the top level of the division, you know, the punches, you know, you've seen in some of the highlight clips, he's standing there with his hands at his waist and just throwing one punch, and guys are just about out, right? And as you get up there and you're going to face the Peter Johns and the Dominic Cruises and fighters like that that you're going to see at 135, where the division is loaded, it's not going to be so easy to do that. And if you hit those guys, they're going to take those punches for a while, right? So you have to be a diverse fighter to be a big star in this game. You know, you can go a long way with, you know, one skill, but you need diversity to really be able to do a lot of things. And I think that's what O'Malley has to prove. You know, he doesn't have to be, you know, Hoist Gracie and be a submission artist, but he has to prove that he can, you know, be enough of a threat to some of the top guys that they have to worry about him on the ground. And he also has to be able to defend on the ground. That, you know, Chuck Liddell became a big star because he was such a big puncher, but he also had that great takedown defense. He was a collegiate wrestler, but he didn't wrestle offensively as a pro. He just used his wrestling to keep himself upright and make sure it was always a striking match. That's kind of what Sean has to do.
All right, before we let you go, and I know that you got DC in the main event, sounds like you got Sean O'Malley in the co-main. Who's your pick in the heavyweight fight between Dos Santos and Rozenstruik?
I like Jarzinho in that one. I think, you know, my bet, I have a betting column that will be posted today. I recommend it. The fight will not start the third round. And that was the bet that I recommended in that one. And, you know, Jarzinho was knocked out by Francis Ngannou in his last fight. Junior's been knocked out in his last two and in five of his last ten. And, you know, while everybody talks about Junior striking and he's the best boxer in the UFC, et cetera, Junior gets hit a lot. You can't really call him the best boxer as much as he gets hit. And so I think, you know, Jarzinho is not as big a puncher as Francis Ngannou, but he's not far behind. And, you know, if you get hit as much as Junior Dos Santos does, I think the fight ends. But because I think Junior has the ability to knock him out, I don't necessarily want to go that way. So I'm going to just say I think the fight does not start the third round, and I'll feel comfortable with that bet.
What's your best bet for our producer, Jake, if indeed Jake is interested in that kind of thing, Jake?
If I was, you know, per se in Las Vegas, because it's illegal to gamble.
What's your best bet for Jake that he could take home with him?
Well, I think, you know, my best bet is DC at 115, you know, at minus 115. O'Malley, I love to win the fight, but you have to lay $3 to bet O'Malley. And, you know, I did play O'Malley, but it's like I took a deep breath, and, you know, because I don't like to play those big dogs. But I think DC at 115, you're getting an all-time great at a really reasonable price, nearly even money. You got to go that way.
Thank you very much, Kevin Ioli. We appreciate your time, sir.
Great talking to you guys. See ya.
How excited are you to read his betting column? Later on, Jake?
Salivating.
Just a little, you know.
A little taste.
Just for entertainment. It's fun. I want DC to run really bad, but something tells me he's not going to, probably because I'm rooting for him so much. But that gave me tremendous confidence that Kevin Ioli seems fairly confident that Daniel Cormier will win. And I know Sean O'Malley's going to win and then sit in his throne and game. Have you tried to game with him online, by the way, Jake?
No, I haven't. He would probably kick my ass.
No, I'm going to connect you with him. We'll be right back after this to wrap things up on Sports Radio 810 WHB.